This is part two, guys. Thanks for listening and appreciate the patience there. Just ironing out the dusting, getting the rust off. Well, we better do, Al Rag, we better do the listeners' questions because they've been kind enough to submit them. And anything with expertise around FPL, I'm going to throw your way. Because we were looking at it there. Southampton's finished up 3-1. I think Al Rag, you're on what, 65 points for the week?
Yeah.
Mine doesn't need to be talked about. It's just shocking. It's one of those. It's an FPL walk of shame. Another one. I think my rank is around 450k now. So here's the questions, right? These are ones. FPL Rogue, who you can follow at FPL Rogue. And he's looking for your expertise with Chelsea. And I think he's having a little bit of a dig as well. Which sounds like FPL Rogue, to be fair. He's a good lad. After City get rolled over by Chelsea, does this mean that Pep will unleash the big guns, as in KDB, Gundog, Mahrez, etc., versus Newcastle? And if so, which are essential for 36? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I really have avoided Man City for the last couple of months, really. Pepperlet screwed me over quite a number of times, and I really couldn't do it to myself to go back there. Again, if you knew for sure who was going to play, I think he will play strong teams. You know, Pep will play strong teams. He's not, even though they don't have to play for, he'll want to keep him momentum going and form on the team, and he will probably play. But I think, you know, Gundo and De Bruyne and Mahrez, but then he might not. And, you know, there is no way of knowing, and with only a couple of game weeks left, you know, I would stick with guys who are sure to score. And that's a different Man City this year anyway. It doesn't matter. I mean, Man City have been winning most of the games by just a couple of goals. They're not like they were, you know, he changed his tack. He learned from previous years of not having a strong defence. He brought in Diaz, and he's gone for a much more reserved style and, you know, a much more defensive-focused style of play, which has worked out brilliant for them. And they've conceded very few goals, but they haven't been going for the jugular on teams at all and trying to, you know, score 3, 4, 5 goals at all. They've been scoring 2 and seeing the game out. And it may just do the same for the rest of the games that are for the season. So, you know, and again, the problem with Man City is, you know, you never know where the goals are going to come from. You know, it could come from any number of 4 or 5 players. At least, you know, I spot on my, when having Spurs players in my team, at least I know if the goal goes in, pretty much.
Going to be Kane or Son.
It's going to be Kane, Bale, or Son. Are going to be either scoring or assisting or both, you know, on those goals. And same with Man United at the moment, it's Bruno or Greenwood. And, you know, you have the same with Liverpool, so I wouldn't really be looking to get any Man City players for the last few games.
If I was looking to have one for the crack, I'd guess Sterling. Because I just think...
People have been saying that all year long. I guess Sterling for the crack. If he's done nothing, the guy in the shadow of himself. Can't have a complete lack of form and confidence. That's just, you can't just, it's not just going to come. It ain't there at the moment.
I have a random theory on that. I just think Pep hammers his wingers close to him on the dugout too much, like Mane and now Sterling, and it affects their confidence. Because the goal against Chelsea, I think it's Rodri who's bringing the ball out from the back, and Sterling doesn't make the run. And Pep goes apoplectic. Is that how you say that word? I'm always murdering vocab on this. But he goes bananas at Raheem and just holding his head and shouting and all this. And you're going, hold up. Sterling didn't make a run, but it's the player who overcarried the ball from his own box out and lost it, that's the problem with conceding the goal, Pep. Go a bit easy. And I think that's why Mane just said, enough of this. I think we mentioned this before. I heard, you know, especially now with the stadiums being empty, you're hearing players sort of like the level and the amount of instruction, and he just micromanages his wingers. And I'd say after a while, they go, oh, like anything, if you're micromanaged, I can't deal with this. I'm gone. And I think I just think it's affected his confidence. I tell, even he scored against Chelsea, and he was sort of like, yeah, it was in my. I'd never seen a player look so dejected after scoring. And I like Sterling. I always think he's gonna come good. I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him come good. He's been. I think I've got a fondness for him because he was so cheap at Liverpool one of the seasons, and he just ran amok, and he was banging in goals, and he was something like 5.5 million. He's like the way Nacho is this season. And you're getting an affinity for the player. But I think we've given Rogue a comprehensive answer there. So we'll move on to the next question. So this is from FPL Fairy. He's over in Australia. He's Steve. He's a good guy. He's from Offaly, living it up in Oz. But he's going to come home. And he's saying, what's on the agenda for an Irish meetup post restrictions? Would you be on for 1L rag?
Well, I what?
You've got a tourist, have you?
Drop of a hat, yeah. I need shoes once we get one to ease up and we all get vaccinated. Definitely count me in. Anytime, anywhere, at this stage.
It's one of those things where you.
The last I know we had was Supercrack, and even though. It was just a load of random people just talking football. We had great fun, and even though a few of them had a few too many, even by the time I arrived, I'd definitely be on for it again.
I think you underestimated the crack we had at it. Like a couple of people, random football. It was an all day session. Lads rode from 12 o'clock, and there was a mill up in a kebab shop. Must point out, no, none of the FPL crew. We're at fault. Well, it's really good. FPL, like, you're just sort of, you know, you expect it to be a huge amount of nerds sort of pushing spectacles up over the bridges of their nose. Next thing you're talking about a mill up in a kebab shop. And just, you're right, though. You need to plan it around a load of football, I think. You need to plan it around three or four games and double game weeks and points going in and all that sort of stuff. Like, if it's just meeting up without the football and the banter, forget about it. So yeah, as soon as we can and we're all vaccinated, we'll sort that and we'll get something up on Twitter. Next one's from FPL Dad. This actually probably goes back to your choosing Blackburn, just to annoy United fans. So he's saying, what size United jerseys do you both want for the Europa League final? And hashtag closet red. I think I did such a good job when I used to do the pod of talking up United, but I'm not a closet red. If anything, I neglect United players. Like, I've neglected Bruno the whole way through. I had Shaw, but not having Bruno has hurt me hugely. And as well as that, I have a theory around Spurs players when they move on. I never mind what club they go to, and they're always welcome back to talk to Chieftain unless they move to United, because Berbatov, Carrick and Teddy Sheringham I've never really forgave, but anyone that goes elsewhere, even like Paul Stewart or Robbie Keane to Liverpool or lads to Real Madrid, even Saul Campbell to Arsenal, no mad issue, but it's like United fans, the way they're going, oh, and I clarify that, Manchester United fans, the way they're going, oh, we're going to buy Rafinha. And I'm just going, that's so derogatory to Leeds fans. Leeds have been a breath of fresh air, haven't they?
Yeah, really have taken, actually, I should have known better than, with Spurs against Leeds, I thought there would be goals in that match, but in terms of Leeds' home record against all the top teams has been affected, but they haven't been beaten at home by the top six or seven teams. They've actually, they're a bit more loose away from home, but whatever way it is, I think that pitch is a bit of a, is in a bad state.
Spurs sold them that for 300,000. Did you know that? No, no, no. Spurs sold them that pitch for 300,000.
Well, that's the old YFA pitch.
That's the old Spurs pitch. Spurs were going to have two pitches because one was, they were going to have one in this new stadium underneath and for whatever reason.
That would come out of come out, yeah.
And they didn't need it, so they sold it to Leeds for 300,000. And typical, and it's got the paint the Spurs over. Like, I was watching the game at the weekend, and I think a lad Mossy pointed out within 10 minutes, Stevie Mack on BT was saying, oh, they're going to need the specialists to come out at half time and sort that pitch. Like, it was only 10 minutes into the game. I'll give you a laugh as well. I moved into the new estate, and there's a fella, seen him, he's wearing a Leeds jersey. So he walked by me one day, and I was there, how are you doing, Dirty Leeds? And he was there, how are you? when I think back, like, you go, addressing him as Dirty Leeds. So I called him Dirty Leeds for about a month. And then one day he was walking up, and I was driving down, so I stopped the car. I said, Dirty Leeds. And he's there, how are you? And he came over. I said, I have to stop calling you Dirty Leeds. I said, what's your name? And he said, Shay. And I said, okay, Dirty Leeds Shay from now on. So I drove off. But he's had the last laugh. He's given me awful stick about Leeds beating Spurs, and rightly so. And they were toxic. And he's saying, don't let that little fella end up being. Donuts is actually a Leeds fan now. She likes them. And she wants to go to a Leeds Spurs game because she likes how they play. And
Leeds will win.
Yeah, I think, look, they're just, to be honest, I think one of the other things is in Ireland, lads of a certain vintage follow Leeds. Like, they're all in their 50s. And
I know for quite a few.
But yeah, because when Leeds were successful, actually, that's a couple of things since the pod. The Jack Charlton documentary, and I'm passing, and give it a lash, Jack, and I'm dying during it, and it's not able to mark it the way I'm, like, it, you know, you knew how special it was at the times with Jack Charlton, with Italian 90 and all that sort of stuff, and I just, that was one of the things that stood out to me. I thought the documentary, did you see the documentary on Charlton?
Yeah, I did, yeah, I was very impressed with it.
Yeah, there's some great sports documentaries, actually, that got us through as well. Maradona won.
We are right.
Sorry, go on. Right, so we're not closer Reds. That's just what we've clarified. And now Europa League final. Who have they got? Olympiakos. So I'm gonna have a Greek. It's Olympiakos. Didn't they beat Arsenal? So we're gonna go.
Villarreal.
Oh, Villarreal. Sorry. Yeah. No, they knocked them out in the other one. Yeah. Sorry, Villarreal. So it was Emery, wasn't it? And Arsenal put in a piss poor shown with no heart. So, geez, Villarreal have some pedigree in that competition, though. They've won it back to back, I think, a couple of times. So, yeah, apologies for the Freudian slip there.
That it was, you're going to mix up Sevilla.
Am I? I probably am. Jesus, yeah. Jesus, shocking. Right, we have to. FPL. So, last question, and actually these guys have changed up. The FPL Hangover podcast. So that was Jer, who's the Galactic Space Courier. Remember him?
Yeah, I do.
Sound fella. And he's now got King on it. Do you know King? FPL King? He's up in Donegal.
Nice lad.
So it was FPL Drunk, but FPL Drunk had a baby. And beautiful child, actually, Ella. And congratulations, FPL Drunk. It's been raining babies in FPL world, actually. I probably should have had another baby rather than buy a German Shepherd. The German Shepherd's been harder work than a baby. But anyway, he says, for both of you, who's been your favourite FPL player this season? So there you go. Who's yours? Over the entire season, he's just, you know, he's delivered. He's been top class, and you've enjoyed having him.
I actually don't know if I have one. I think my favorite one actually has been Dallas, even though I've missed all the calls, and I'm very tempted right now to bring him in for the last public game just to try and rectify that. But I haven't. There's no one that I had a major soft spot for this year. I do, you know, a lot of the usual, like Bamford and Bruno and stuff like that, but some of the other players have disappointed. Trent, I was on Trent early there on Christmas time. You know, he was doing well. And every single game, he was putting in cross after cross after cross, and they weren't being converted. And he finally started delivering, but only after I got him in. I had him in, he banked for how many game weeks, and then got rid of him, and then eventually started scoring again and got him back. You know, so it's been one of those seasons where that's the reason he just a Lingard. You and me got out of him very early. And,
we did.
We both did well out of him.
Yeah.
Even though it was in a short run of maybe whatever 4 or 5 game weeks, but yeah, it was a big boost there for during that time period.
I was super happy with him. For me, it's Kane. The only thing is with Kane is I've captained him when I shouldn't have, and vice versa, and it's hurt me. So I've captained him sometimes as a differential, and he's blanked, and that's hurt me badly. But I've just enjoyed, like, there was a stage at one stage, he was just 4 assists, I think, for Son against Southampton, and then he was banging them in, and then he had a bad injury with the ankles. But as a Spurs fan, he's just been the one light, and there was a period which I love that in FPL where if you can't catch the game and there's a goal on live score and you can pretty much predict, oh, that's a Harry Kane goal, or Southampton sometimes that's Ings, or Liverpool that's Salah. And I just love that type of player where Wilson as well at Newcastle, I'm just sorry he wasn't fit longer because he's been quite good. I remember ringing you once shouting down Mr. Wills because I had him and you didn't. So there's a couple of players like that. John Stones as well. I had him for, I think he's Brace. I can't remember who they were playing, but it was in around December and you were getting a couple of cleans off him. And I haven't had him, but I've enjoyed the likes of Gundo. I like players that are just sort of outperforming their stats and playing it.
Yeah, Gundo was brilliant there for you know, kind of, I got on him actually around the time of the double and the blank, and I got him in and he was looking on it then in January and February. He was absolutely brilliant. And Martinez as well. Gundo and Martinez were the kind of two real star performers during that time period.
Yeah, definitely Martinez. I had him from the start and I think my rank was flying, and it was when I deviated and I tried to be too clever, and I think I took in Mendy for a while, and Lampard and Chelsea were all over the shop. The Chelsea rotation has sort of hurt as well, because if it wasn't for the rotation, I'd have Chilwell every week. I like Chilwell. I've liked Shaw defensively. They've probably been the good players. Then there's been, what players frustrated you most? The player that's frustrated you most, is it Trent?
Yeah, Trent, during that, you know, December, January time, I was just, you know, because he's so expensive as well, you know, you're sacrificing, you know, an attacker basically to bring him in, or, you know, it really can cause an imbalance in the team or somewhere, if you give somewhere else, to have him. And he was, again, when I was against, you know, Adrian in our personal league, he was one of the key differentiators that I had when he got that lead, and he was the guy I was dependent to score, to do well, to hold in that lead, because we ended up having, you know, our teams had like 8 or 9 players the same, so I was just kind of counting on those few ones that were different, and he was the one that I was hoping would make the difference. But again, despite loads and loads and loads of chances created, nothing was happening at the other end. So, not his fault, in fairness. It was more of a just Liverpool being at the races this year, and especially Salah and Mane, you know, really struggling to just get the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, Yara has been good if he got more game time. He's been a nice
player. Yeah, and Phil has pointed that out, him getting injured in a Mickey Mouse game, and when was it there? There was that nothing there before Christmas, yeah, in the Champions League, and they're already qualified. And he ended up missing, you know, whatever, 3 months. But he was on fire at that time, and that really caused our season to really derail. They lost a lot of games, but that way he was really kind of driving them at the time.
Well, he did, and Jordan Pickford with the challenge on Virgil van Dijk.
Just
absolutely torched them. But otherwise, actually.
But the Liverpool squad is ultra thin anyway, so, I mean, it's, You know, Chelsea and Man City aren't dependent on any one or two players in that same way at all, like, you know.
But it showed a lot that everything that was going on, like, anyone, I don't think any Liverpool fans were blaming Klopp. They were looking at the board going, what the hell is going on with not having a central defender? You and I had said it. Why wouldn't they just sign someone like Tarkowski or even Ben Mee and get him in for January 1 with the lead-in time they had? But they had bigger fish to fry with their Super League, which I was really delighted to see the way they did it. We can't wrap up this pod without mentioning the Super League and how great it was to see. I know we were all worried from a selfish FPL viewpoint, but I'm just delighted. The Spurs fraud in the Super League. It's just, like, I have to say, my phone blew up. There was one that was tweet that was going around, which was, and I just want to say this right to get it, do it justice. Spurs joining the Super League is like Banana Man joining the Avengers. And I'm not joking you, Kennedy. I got that literally from 50 different people in my phone. I'm like, people that wouldn't even know too much about football, like my mum that watches Fair City and Carnation Street, and she even forwarded it. And I'm there like, gone. Jesus Christ. Like, I mean, it literally was. It was at the point I didn't need to open the messages. I was just putting turn off notifications for that. And it was like, there was like, honestly, the amount of messages, like, then there was the other one, like, where, you know, they were shown the beauty pageant, and there was some very, like, really cutting stuff. And I mean, it was like, do you know what it was like? It was like when kids spam each other. Like, when a kid spams you in a group chat, they, like, you know, everything is, like, it's 100 messages that say nothing. It's like K, an emoji face, frown, and stuff like that. My phone was blown up on that with Spurs going into the Super League. Am I even saying that right now? Is it the Super League? Was it Super Six? Super Six something, but it was so ill thought out. We have, but here's the other thing, right? Which, and we are, and I'm going to hold my hand up, and it's an awful time for us and everything else. But can you imagine the reaction if any other club than United invaded their pitch against their arch rivals? And the, you know, if Chelsea fans did it, or Newcastle fans, or any other club than United, but they're saying, no, it's okay because of Glazers and this leveraged buyout. But I just thought it was like, this is Old Trafford and they've got into it. And I know I'm leaving myself open now, but if anyone's still listening at 53 minutes into a pod, but could you imagine, like, if Chelsea fans did that and they,
oh my God,
and went
they
in,
they would be absolutely stated.
They will be annihilated. Like, it'll be a throwback to, oh, Chelsea headhunters and hooliganism and everything like this, and it'd be all this. But I think it's one rule for some and one rule for another. Like, I think Newcastle fans have a right to be gone. Like, their club has just been, Gemma's a great phrase for sports neglect. I love sports neglect, and it is sports neglect to them. But, you know, they're so passionate, Newcastle fans, and they're a one club city and everything like that, and it represents everything to them, that football club up there. And you're just sort of going, yeah, I just hope we don't see that again now repeated for United Liverpool. And as a result, I'm hoping Liverpool win that game. I don't know, what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah,
I'd say. Okay. Right, we better wrap it up. Rag, the last question that I have on this, right? We've been asked that if we commit to one pod a month.
Yeah, should match that.
Yeah, I think so. Now, we wouldn't do it for the end of the season. We might do a wrap up, and then if we do it, like, you know, just how our month has gone in FPL, and throw it in, and we'll narrow it down, and we'll get a template, and we'll just throw it out, one pot a month. I think we can do half an hour.
Yeah, keeping it to half an hour is the problem. We'll have to be a bit more.
We will.
Streamline next time.
We will, but like, we were filling in on the guts of you know, 16 months, 17 months. Yeah, so in fairness, yeah. The listeners will indulge us. Go on, mind yourself. Talk to you soon. Best of luck. Plenty of green arrows. Mind yourself.